the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
This is the radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your very own body. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. With Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic, I'm Joe Galewski. To reach Dr. Mike today on the phone, 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Listen to any of the shows on Radio MD, also iHeartRadio Talk. Add Radio MD and you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio Talk. And go to iHeartRadio.com. You can download an app or use it on the internet. If you go to the internet, click Talk in the main menu, then search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Bridget's here today, too. Hello, Dr. Mike.
Hi.
Hello, Joe.
Tell us about the guest at 35 minutes after the hour, Dr. David Sidransky.
Well, David Sidransky is the head of the Johns Hopkins, which is obviously a very well-known and well-respected, outstanding medical institution on the East Coast. And he has founded a number of companies, but the company he's going to talk about today is called Champions Oncology Tumor Graft. And what that is a, and we're going to obviously hear better from what he says what it is, but what it is they take your tumor, when you biopsy it or take a piece, they actually put it and graft it to a mouse and then can test drugs in the mouse. We're going to find out from him why that's better than other techniques of finding out what drugs work on a specific tumor to help regress the cancer. So he is a outstanding oncologist who is at Hopkins, heads the ear, nose, and throat oncology program, and has a number of experiences in founding and working with companies. This one is exciting because it promises to have new cancer therapies for virtually any solid cancer.
So they give the mouse cancer, is that right?
Well, that's the mouse gets a tumor graft. Yeah, the mouse wouldn't be alive if it weren't getting the cancer.
Poor little thing. I wonder if the animal activists will have anything to say about that.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
You know, I've never seen, you know why we do studies in lawyers, don't you, rather than in rats?
No, I don't. You'll have to tell me.
We've never seen a sign on a car, you know, a bumper sticker, save the lawyers.
Very good, sir. Very good, sir. Bob Costas has pink eye. What's going on with Bob Costas at the Olympics? He hasn't been able to host for a week. He's coming back for the second week of the Olympics, but he's got a bad case of pink eye here in both eyes.
Well, that only means that he touched his hand to one eye and spread it to the other. That's the most common way of spreading it. And you don't want to shake his hand right now.
No.
It's a virus.
Oh, yeah.
And it does, it is a highly transmissible. You normally get it from touching your eye with your hand after you've touched someone who's had the virus or had the pink eye. And so that's probably, or it used to be transmitted before we knew more about it, from wearing glasses or common, or sharing glasses, or even sharing a, you know, if he flew over on a plane. He obviously flew to Sochi on a plane, but if he flew over with one of those masks on, you can get it from a mask or even ski goggles.
Hmm. And he's got to be, he says, he's sitting in a darkened room with absence of light.
It does increase your sensitivity to light, so
yeah.
You don't want to be out in the bright sun on snow.
Yeah, kids get pink eye a lot, but you've got to get it treated, right? It never ever goes away on its own, or if it does, it takes a long time.
No, it does go away on its own. I don't know that. The treatment is supportive. It's not a bacteria. Mm-hmm. It's a virus.
Yeah, you know, when you watch the Olympics, you see these, and especially the endurance competitions, the cross-country skiing and the speed skating and the downhill, and especially when you get to the cross-country skiing, some of these athletes, when they get to the finish line, they're just totally exhausted, and they just fall down, and it probably has to do with their lungs are just decimated. Their lung capacity has to be incredible, doesn't it?
Oh, it's much greater than yours or mine.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. It's just they're spent. They're just physically spent by the end of that competition.
Yes, they go, and it is both breathing. You know, in cold weather, it can be breathing. Usually, it is cardiovascular. They've gone all out in their cardiovascular and are at the extreme upper limits of cardiac function.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the connecting to probably one of the top stories of the week here this week has to do with the cold and the humidity and the swings in the weather, the colder weather in the winter, the warmer weather in the winter. And what's the connection between that and stroke risk?
Well, what they found is that in colder climates, such as North America, Toronto, Buffalo, Syracuse, Cleveland, Chicago, Boston, I'm going to name them, a lot of the cities we have programs in, that there's an increased stroke risk in winter, and then a little one during the very hottest period in July. So it goes up in January, February, and March, then it goes down for most of the year, except for a spike when it's really hot and humid in July.
Okay, so the most unhealthy time of the year is wintertime, right?
From the standpoint of, you know, there is no unhealthy period of time. It's how you treat it.
Yep.
But it apparently, the cold stimulates constriction of blood vessels, and just the constriction, just the act of the muscle layer, the blood pressure of the blood vessel constricting, apparently flips off some plaque. So you have plaque, which is like loose plaster in your arteries, and when you move that muscle in the artery, or it gets inflamed, you will flip that off, and that apparently does increase the chances of having a stroke.
So what's your recommendation, then?
We should all move to Sarasota.
Thinking about it. I mean, seriously. I mean, what would somebody
that
do?
That is where Joe lives. That's one of the reasons I brought that up, if you will.
On a kind of a temporary basis. Well, in the minute we have left, I mean, what are some things people could do to prevent that from, you know, developing?
The best thing that you do is a chronic lifestyle that prevents plaque development.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I mean by that? It's exercising routinely. It's not eating any of the five food felons. It's managing, and it is avoiding toxins, especially tobacco. So those are the most important ones. And then maybe taking those two baby aspirin once a day, every day. But again, there is risk and benefit in the baby aspirin. And then I like taking the purified omega-7 and maybe getting salmon three times a week, or getting DHA from an extract, meaning whether you get it from an algae like the fish get it from, or getting the DHA. What you want is 900 milligrams of DHA, which is what you get in three portions of salmon, if you have salmon, three times a week, or what you can get if you will, from DHA, 900 milligrams a day supplement, which is what I take.
And is it one aspirin or two aspirin? I've heard one or two. You always say two. Two aspirin a day?
It's two baby aspirin. You get about 13% of the benefit from one, 34% of the benefit from two. So it's so much more greater with two. We don't have studies showing you have a greater risk of, if you will, side effects from two babies, from one baby. So that's why I go to two babies.
All right, we're going to come back after the break and talk about mammographies and a study that questions the value of mammography right after this time out here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So, it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom. I'm
Thanks,
very
honey.
Proud of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julianne and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org to learn more.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And the show weekly brought to you by YouBeauty.com and Morning Light Multivitamins. Guest time 35 past the hour, Dr. David Sidransky, one of the world's most renowned oncologists and scientists in the world, director of the Head and Neck Cancer Research Division at Johns Hopkins School, and professor of oncology and at Johns Hopkins University and Hospital. He'll talk about Champion's tumor graft. It essentially, and he'll get into this in detail with Dr. Mike, it's an approach that's used to determine the appropriate treatment for cancer patients. And it's an interesting story, an interesting procedure. We'll speak with him at 35 past the hour. In the meantime, more of the top medical stories of the week. And another study out this week, Dr. Mike, that questions the value of mammography. What can you say about that?
Well, this is an interesting study. It was done in Canada, and it was a very meticulous study. They took women who were 40 to 59 years of age, 89,000 of them. Half of them got yearly mammography, that is, every year they had a mammogram. The other half did not. And then they looked at survival rates over the next 15 years. So this is a huge study. And I'll tell you why it was criticized, but what they found was no difference in survival rates between the group that got mammograms and the group that didn't. Now, why was it criticized? Well, there are two major criticisms. One is this was done in Canada by what you would call not perfect radiographic studies. So these weren't very good. They weren't people who specialized just in doing mammograms the way it is done in the United States. It's one of the differences between our systems. And the second is that a huge number of the people, the women who had mammograms, had very severe breast cancer diagnosed in the first 2 years. So I was wondering if there was a flaw in what we call the randomization schedule, how people were allocated one group versus another. And those are the two main criticisms. But what this does, and many other studies have found different from this one, but have been much smaller studies. So this one has a fair bit of weight. What actually happens with it, whether women will start having to pay for mammograms and it not being offered as a prevention, will really depend on the public reaction to this. But for now, the worry is that if you thought a mammogram was beneficial, as many people and many scientists in this area do, this may question whether they will be paid for by your insurance company or even by Medicare.
That's not right to me. Preventative tests should be taken care of. How can you make somebody pay for a preventative test that could possibly save your life? Doesn't make sense.
Well, the reason is because it didn't save lives in this study. And so the question is this just an extra cost with no benefit? Everyone had what is called a clinical breast exam, a breast exam every year by a physician. So the question is, does the mammogram add anything to that? And the answer is, in this study, it didn't. In several others and in many others in the United States where they've had the mammograms done by people who just specialize in mammography with better radiologic techniques, they have shown a difference.
Can a mammogram show something in a woman's breast before a self-examination may indicate something to a woman? Women have to, you know, check themselves periodically. Will a mammogram show something earlier before any kind of physical, you know?
Well, that's the hope of the mammograms, and that's why this study was done. Does it show things earlier, and is that more amenable to therapy?
Yeah.
So we don't know the answer to that fully, which is why this study and many others have been done. And now we've got contrasting views on the results of that. So if you would have said that if it would have showed things earlier, you would have a improved 15-year survival rate. But since you don't, maybe it isn't showing things earlier.
It also suggests... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, insurance companies can't just drop paying for the screening just based on one study, right?
No, that's right. They wouldn't drop it based on this, but if the Preventive Services Task Force and a number of other groups, American Cancer Society, et cetera, say you don't need the screening, then it may get dropped. So it depends a lot on public reaction as well as other studies and analysis of all the studies taken together.
It doesn't sound like there's any definitive research that indicates what the actual value of a mammogram is yet, right?
That's really the problem. And at the same time, it's a moving target because our the mammograms are clearly getting better and better and better with time.
udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. On the phone, if you want to speak with Dr. Mike Royzen, 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211, or udocs@gmail.com. Bridget suggested after the show today, stop by Burger King and pick up a Big King. I haven't heard about it yet. Sounds interesting. Tell me about it.
Well, Burger King, it looks to me, in my own humble opinion, that Burger King is trying to kill more people than anybody else with their quality of food.
No, and it's
so
true.
They have gone to an extreme in trying to get people to have inflammation in their body with this greater amount of red meat, flame-cooked red meat, and outdo, if you will, McDonald's in the amount of calories they're able to give people, and to see if they can get people both with inflammation and obesity at the same time. So this one has caused me to say, I'm going to boycott Burger King. this just is ridiculous.
But it's a bargain. There's no increase in price.
What is the Big King? How big is the Big King?
Well, there is an increase in price because the main price you pay is cancer and heart disease.
Yeah.
Right.
And
no,
so
I'm,
that isn't counted in the actual dollars you pay at the surface, but that is what happens to your health. It corrupts
right,
your health, and
agree.
That corrupts America's job competitiveness. So I really believe that we've got to, the only way we're going to get these companies, it seems to me, to understand that they influence health and that they have a responsibility towards this is to either get them to have to pay the extra insurance cost when someone has this, or to say, no, we're going to boycott this, and a certain percentage boycott it because they're doing things that degrade America's job competitiveness, that degrade America's health.
Right, and they're doing it in their own best interest, obviously, which I think is
well. They're a business. I mean, what they you know, they're a business. You know, they're
right.
It's the bottom line. I do an interesting thing when I go to a fast food joint, and it's typically to buy coffee on the way to work or something. And usually there's somebody ahead of me, usually four or five or six cars ahead of me before I get coffee. But I always kind of look. I look at the size of the bag that is handed to the person in the car from inside through the drive-through window, and you've got the huge bag with the food, and then hold on a second, you get your drink, and you've got these big cups coming out of whatever they're getting with, you know, soda or whatever. But man, some of the stuff that people take out of these places, the bags are enormous. They're massive.
Oh my God,
well,
yeah.
You hope they're buying for a family, right?
Well,
or 10 friends.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with our guest. It's an interesting conversation. It's Dr. David Sidransky, and he's one of the world's most famous oncologists and scientists, as well as the director of head and neck cancer research at Johns Hopkins University. And Dr. Sidransky will tell us about the Champions Tumor Graft, where not everybody's cancer treatment is the same. Sometimes you have to test the drugs on humans until you find the right cancer treatment. In the meantime, patients can get sicker, so perhaps this Champions Tumor Graft would fix that situation. We'll find out right after the timeout on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Royzen on Radio MD. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody, so get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Well, cancer treatments are the same for everybody. Sometimes you have to test the drugs on humans till you find the right one. In the meantime, people can get sicker, but now there's a personalized solution that finds the right drug for the specific cancer in a single person. Dr. David Sidransky is an oncologist and research scientist. In fact, he was named in profile by Time Magazine as one of the top physicians and scientists in America, recognized for his groundbreaking work with early detection of cancer. And he's here to tell us today about Champions Tumor Graft. Doc, thanks for coming on today for the show with Dr. Mike. Just basically, what is Champions Tumor Graft?
Great, thanks. It's great to be on the show. So tumor graft is basically a piece of tumor from a patient that's implanted into a mouse. That's kind of the scientific approach. The more commonly used wording is the mouse avatar, where we basically create an avatar, a representation of that patient's tumor, essentially in a mouse or a mouse model.
All right, here's Dr. Mike as you guys get into detail. Dr. Mike.
David, this is interesting, and it relates to the personalization or of treatment. That is, treating a throat cancer or head and neck cancer or a breast cancer is not the same from one person to the other. Talk to us a little bit about personalization.
Sure. legalization is really something we've come to understand over the last few decades. Drugs were originally developed in oncology, like many other diseases, as kind of one-size-fits-all. So basically developed a drug or a drug combination protocol and said, you know, we're going to treat 100 patients the same. We found out that obviously wasn't great because many patients did not respond and everybody would get potentially the same side effect. We tried for a long time to figure out how to personalize it, understand what's different between one person's tumor and another. Molecular biology and research helped define groups a little bit differently to help understand what drugs might help one person and another. But really now, in the last few years, there's just been a tremendous focus in trying to split a given type of cancer, like a breast cancer or a lung cancer, into very specific groups of patients so you can find the right drug for the right group.
And what makes this different from, for example, growing a tumor in a cell culture, that is, in a in vitro? In other words, we've never seen a bumper sticker save the mice, but in fact, is this seems like it must be more difficult than just growing it in culture. Is it much better than growing it in culture?
Right. Dr. Mike, that's a great question. And basically, one of the first approaches as people thought about personalizing or trying to figure out which drug might work was, in fact, culturing cancer cells in petri dishes or in plastic. That was started probably now almost 20 or 30 years ago, and it made a lot of sense. People said, you know, you can grow bacteria in a plastic dish, test a different antibiotic, and find out which one works. The only problem is that it took us a long time to figure out that it wasn't predicting correctly. We were able to grow the cells only sometimes. And when they did grow, it seemed like the drugs that worked in the plastic dish weren't working on the patient. And that's exactly the problem. The problem is that growing cells in plastic is not the way cells grow in the body. You need essentially a biologic or living incubator. And the real breakthrough here is that we were able to take the entire piece of tumor, not only the cancer cells, but all the other cells that make up a tumor mass, and implant it into a mouse. And to our nice, to a great surprise, it actually was able to grow, and we were able to propagate it. Once we were able to do that, we were able to get essentially the tumor, the same tumor that was growing in the patient, to grow essentially in the living mouse. And that changed everything. Because once we were able to do that, we found that testing the drug on the tumor in the mouse gave us the same results, or nearly identical results, that we were seeing when we were treating patients in the clinic.
Now, how does this, when you do this, you're already involved probably in conventional therapy and usual therapies, such as these large protocols. How does this add to it or subtract to it, or when do you introduce this to the patient? And is this available to all patients, and how do they find out about it? And then the question we've already had on the email line was, who pays for this?
Right. All great questions. So let's start a little bit in terms of what happens to and how do we get a tumor graft. So the situation is usually that a patient is diagnosed with an aggressive primary cancer. That means the tumor is large, has already spread some distance. There's great concern between the surgeon and the treating physicians that maybe this tumor has a good chance of recurring, or sometimes the tumor has already metastasized, has already left the primary site. So for example, in breast cancer, may have already gone to the lungs, and actually we take a piece of tumor from the lungs and implant it as well. That's the usual situation where we get the implantation, where there's a very high chance.
So these are not usually uncomplicated tumors, but they're already spread tumors.
These are tumors which have a high potential to recur or are already metastasized. So, correct. So for those tumors where they're small, there's a great chance of cure once they've had surgery, this is not an appropriate technique. It's either for tumors that have a high chance of recurrence or are already metastasized. It also takes time. So we need the tumor fresh, which is one of the limitations of the technology. They have to be alive because we're going to grow them in the mouse. So we need to take either a live piece of tumor from surgery or a live biopsy. That's one limitation. And we'd like to implant it in the same day, if we can, to make sure that there's a good chance that the tumor will take in the mouth. The second issue, then, is the patient, therefore, has to go through other conventional treatment until this graft grows and is ready to be tested. And that can take anywhere from 3 to 4 months. So usually what happens is that patients will go through standard protocols, and especially in the metastatic disease setting, we call it first line, which means it's just the first line of attack. And they'll go through the standard protocol, and then when it's time for the second line of attack, if the tumor continues to grow or is not responding anymore, which is very common in metastatic disease, then they go through what we call mouse-directed therapy or avatar-directed therapy. This is appropriate for almost all solid tumors, breast, lung, head and neck, pancreas, colon, you name it, we've been able to grow them with great success. And the results are pretty much the same, which is when we find a drug or a drug combination that works on the mouse avatar, there's a greater than 90% chance that drug or drug combination will work in the patient.
And now on the working in the patient, if you will, what does that mean? Does that mean, and now we've gotten a couple questions actually from our email line. Anyone can send us email questions at udocs@gmail.com. But one of the questions on the email line is in fact relates to does this mean, since it's needed to be fresh, does this mean that the has to be done at a specific location, since obviously fresh means it's got to get there within a day to be able to grow? And the second thing is, do most insurance companies pay for this now?
Right, both very good questions. So yeah, the fresh is an issue. So generally speaking, we like to get patients close to what we call implantation centers, where we have mice ready to do implantation. Right now in the East Coast, we have them set up in Baltimore, which is in the Biotech Park right next to Hopkins, where we started. And we are expanding to a center now on the West Coast, hopefully very soon, to be able to provide services on both coasts. You can, kind of in the special media, we have a special plastic container of media where you can take the biopsy or the surgery material, put it into this container, and send it overnight. There's a slightly lower chance that it'll take if it goes through the overnight shipping, but it's still a pretty good chance. You know, it's still approaching 60 to 70% that we can still get that tumor to grow.
When we come back, David, we're
going to... pressure and there is...
When we come back, we have a hard break now, but when we come back, we're going to talk about cost and about where this goes from here in testing for personalization of tumors. Joe?
Thank you, Dr. Mike, 877-711-5211. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now
at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Champions Tumograft is a personalized approach that's used to determine the appropriate treatment for cancer patients. Dr. David Sidransky is the chairman of Champions Oncology, and here again is Dr. Mike Royson.
And since we've had questions about where people can find out more, through our email line, and anyone can send us an email at udocs, y-u-d-o-c-s, at gmail.com. The answer is www.championsoncology, O-N-C-O-L-O-N-G-Y.com. So the questions that came in is related to what if one is in, and we have a station that carries us in Chicago, and this came in from Jane in Chicago. She said, what is the take rate if you got it locally, a biopsy locally in Baltimore, she said, versus one that she gets in Chicago and is sent in via FedEx, she used the name, or if it's the same, then what is the cost and how do they go about getting an insurance company to pay for this?
Yeah, Dr. Mike, all great questions. So let me take that. There are some limitations, and one of them is it has to be fresh, and the other one has to be implanted as soon as possible. Depending on when it's taken in a place like Chicago, it can actually be sent and arrive on the same day to Baltimore. The faster we get it, the better. But generally speaking, it's about 15 or 20% lower the chance if it's sent overnight or from someplace else than if it's done on the same day in the location in Baltimore. We get tumors all the time from the East Coast, including the Boston, New York, Washington, and other areas like Florida and Chicago as well. So we've gotten them and implanted them successfully. The important thing is to get the physician to contact the service, and they'll set everything up. And again, it requires a biopsy or surgery, so it has to be either a physician who's going to be doing the surgery or somebody who's going to be doing the biopsy. And of course, since an oncologist is the one that treats the patient, they need to be involved to make sure that they agree with the procedure and will be willing to work to identify the drug, to do the testing, and to then use that information. Now, one of the other problems, you know, with many of these early technologies is that it is not yet covered by insurance. So the patients have to pay for this out of pocket. We are currently starting validation trials in several cancers to try to get insurance reimbursement at some point, but it will take time. These trials will run over 2 to 3 years, and we have been dedicated to trying to help patients with any solid tumor if they want to go ahead and work with us now to try to get the implantation and testing done. So we offer it essentially as a personal service, but they do have to pay out of pocket. There are two parts to that. One of them is just the implantation to make sure it takes. So, you know, this is very similar to many other approaches like cord blood where you do the original collection and just make sure you have it. And then if you need it, because, for example, if you take it out, the tumor that's aggressive but it doesn't recur, you can just, we can grow it. Once it grows in the mice, we can store it forever and only take it out when the tumor recurs. So that's just one cost up front to do that. And then afterwards, we basically charge depending on how many drugs have to be tested on the tumor graft.
Now, wait a second. You said something very interesting there, David. You only test this with drugs. In other words, once you grow it in the mouse, you can store it forever, and you only then can test it when it is positive. Is that what you said?
No, so once it's grown, we can actually take it back out and test it at any time. So, for example, if the tumor is aggressive, but the patient is doing well, and the patient wants to wait, and the physician wants to wait to do the testing, we will grow it. Once it grows, there is a way to freeze it, but only after it grows in the mouse, and we can just take it back out in mice again and test it later. But it doesn't change the testing or what we have to do. It just gives us flexibility in terms of when we want to do the more expensive testing. The initial implantation is much cheaper, and it's an easier thing to make a decision on. When the testing is down the road, the patient and physician can make a decision when that's going to happen and how many drug or drug combinations they want to test on the avatar.
So we have a question, and this relates to possibly my misunderstanding as well. The person says here, so that means it isn't that the different chemotherapies aren't tested in mice, but are tested against the tumor in vitro after it's grown in mouse and gotten to be much more of the tumor quantity. Is that right?
So it's partially correct. What happens is when we first put the tumor in a mouse, it's a small tumor or small biopsy. So when it grows and gets bigger, we cut it into pieces and implant it into more mice. So essentially, it's not just one mouse. It becomes a mouse colony. And that mouse colony all has the same, you know, piece of tumor just growing at different times. When we test it, we do test it in mice. It has to be done. Testing has to be done in the mice. The drugs are given to the mice to be able to get the right result. But it's several mice. So it's going to be several mice depending on how many drugs. The more drugs, the more drug combinations, the more mice we test. Once it's propagated and growing as a colony, it's essentially an endless colony. We can keep growing it. We can freeze some of it and grow it later. We can, you know, essentially it's unlimited amount of tumor. And that's another nice advantage to this, is that if tissue is needed afterwards for additional testing not related to what we do, it's also available for the physician.
Now, this is a question that comes from someone who has a tumor that's a rare tumor. And she said, since my tumor in my head is so rare, 1 in 2 million, is there anything specific I should ask the doctors to do to find out what drugs mine would be accessible to, and is mine appropriate for this technique? She doesn't say what type of tumor she has.
Right, that's a good question. And we get a lot of questions about rare tumors. We've seen a lot of patients with rare tumors. One of our most common tumors, for example, is a sarcoma, which is rare, and there's many different types of sarcomas. And when physicians make the diagnosis and the patients look it up on the Internet with some of these rare tumors, they see that there's not been a lot of drug testing because it's hard to run trials on rare tumors. We think that's an excellent situation to be able to implant and develop an avatar. We can test just empirically, which means we can test the common drugs that have activity in cancer and see if anyone will have activity in this rare tumor, or we can also do additional molecular testing. Molecular testing means trying to figure out whether there's changes or mutations within this rare tumor that can help guide us to try to find drugs and then actually test them on the mice. So rare tumors are common in terms of what we get, specifically because there's not a lot of data and not a lot of trials that are done on these rare tumors.
Huh. So we should refer her to you then. Champions Oncology.
Welcome to come to the website and make the connection.
Oh, to the website, championsoncology.com. I'm trying to answer her email as we're going on as well. So championsoncology.com. Joe?
All right, Dr. Mike, thank you very much. Dr. David Sidransky, if you'd like to hear this interview again, you can do that anytime you like at radiomd.com. Join us on this show weekly on the phone, 877-711-5211. I have a question for Dr. Mike. Or guests, it's udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. And thanks a lot for listening. Hope you learned something every week. I certainly do. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's Omega, TakeOmega.com.